So I've been thinking this week, we're still at the fresh part of 2025. Not a lot has happened yet. Not many troubles have come our way yet. If I could put a title to what I've been looking at this week, it would be Looking Up in 2025. Being able to get my eyes up above what's happening or could happen. You know, that song that we sang, No Matter What Happens, He Will Care For Me, that's something out in the future that could happen. You know, if I'm not careful, I cannot have that same attitude of what may happen in the future. I can become consumed about what is likely to happen out in the future. But to be able to get my eyes raised up above that and hold them there, it's one thing to get a glimpse of what the Lord can do and then go back to looking at my trouble. I thought of that verse, casting all your cares on Him, and He careth for you, because He careth for you. Casting them on Him and then leaving them there is a hard thing to do. What I want to do is look at a verse in Numbers, because I've read this story before, but I want us to take a look at how hard it would be to consistently look up. In Numbers 21 and 6 through 7, children of Israel were going to be punished by the Lord. And it says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, and quickly in that seventh verse, they're saying, please, Moses, pray for us. We're sorry that we did it. Would you pray for us? Praying to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. You know how often in my prayers, that's what my prayer is. Lord, I want you to take away this problem. That's my request. And it means the problem, everything about the problem is gone. He took it away. What their desire was, Lord, would you just, you know, it happened several times, like in the plagues in Egypt. The plague itself was removed. It was gone. It was here, and now it's no longer. But in this one, that's what they're asking. Lord, this plague that you have brought on us, would you remove it? Would you take it away? That really is what Paul was saying. Lord, I got this problem. I know what you need to do with it. I know what I desire that you would do with it is take it away. Remove it from me. But when I look at what the Lord did do, the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it on a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, when I look at that, I don't know how your reaction to snakes is, but it doesn't matter if it's a grass snake. You can tell me that it's not poisonous. You know, you could really even tell me it's a rubber snake, but about the next time I step on it in the dark, I'm going to have this fear come up in me. This one, the Lord did not take away the problem itself, but He gave a solution. And the solution was, you're going to have to look up. And that would be the last thing I would want to do when snakes are still biting. In fact, it's telling you, this person that looks up has already been bitten. And the solution will be, get your eyes up. Get your eyes up higher than what the problem is to what the Lord has said will be the solution for it. And it says, he made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, came to pass. If a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent, he lived. Well, that's a long time ago. And sometimes I wonder if Moses had a thought of that himself. It seemed like it was almost like out of worship. But you know what? The Lord says His ways are higher than our ways. It was the Lord that went to Moses and said, I want you to make this. What I'm really wanting to focus on is it required them looking up to be able to get any help. It's going to require me and you looking up to be able to get the help that we're needing in 2025. We've heard this song before. What He does not keep you from, He will take you through. You know what? He did not keep them from getting any more snake bites. They were snake bitten. But what he would do is take them through. So I'm looking for us all this year. There's going to be some things happen to where it's going to be real easy for the tendency to look down at the problem. You remember where Paul was saying, while we look not at the things that are seen, but you know what? We're going to have to raise our eyes to be able to see the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. I'm going to have to lift my eyes up to be able to see those things that have eternal value. You know, some of the troubles that we're going through today can have eternal value, good value for us. You know, I still remember Cheryl saying a long time ago, I told the Lord, send to me whatever's needed that I can make heaven. Amen. Probably every one of us have prayed that. You know what we're going to have to do is when the serpent's biting us, when the trouble is biting us, that I'll be able to say, you know what, Lord, I told you back there that whatever you needed to do, send it to me. Because there is a way out of any situation. And you know what? She came to a place where she was able to say, I believe God has done that. He has sent to me what will give me the best opportunity to make heaven. What about us today? There will be some things come in our life. It happened to Job. Trouble that came to him. You know, really and truly now I can look back and look at the first chapter of Job and I say he looked up. I don't know what year that was, but he looked up instead of at the problems. When they would come one after another, the Sabaeans took this group of animals. The Chaldeans took this group of animals. And then it moved on down to where you could do nothing but acknowledge God did this. You know, God was responsible for the whirlwind. God was responsible for the lightning that killed some animals. But you know, Job grouped all those together. And I think what he did was he lifted his eyes up above all these temporal things that I have. He lifted his eyes up to the point that he said, the Lord gave it and the Lord took it away. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when we see, and I found some examples in the Bible this week of others that have gone through difficulties. That you know what? It would have been so easy to look down at the problem and focus on the problem. Instead, they were able to look above it. I'd like to look at one of those. It's in 2 Kings. Second Kings in the 19th chapter. Now, when we look at this 18th and 19th chapter of 2 Kings, the king of Assyria is coming to them. They have just come through all these countries that had a God that was not able to deliver them. And now they're coming up to God's country. And they're saying, you know what? Don't let your king tell you God's going to deliver you. Their gods didn't deliver them. Yours won't be able to do it either. And what would we do when news like that comes to us? You know, it's real easy to start checking. Boy, I just heard they did do that to that city. They took that one over and this one, looking down. But instead, you know what Hezekiah did? He looked up. It says he went into the house of the Lord, covered himself with sackcloth, and he's going before the Lord. And I was looking at the verse in 10th verse. This is the king coming to him. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? And it goes on down, and 14th verse, Hezekiah takes the letter, and he looks up. Said he received the letter at the hand of the messenger, and he read it. Then he went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. What if we would be able in 2025 to take the things that come to us and realize the best thing I can do with this problem is look up. Let me take this thing to the Lord and say, Lord, I need this thing is bigger than I am. I need help with it. And I like what Hezekiah did. He looked up, and here's what he saw. 15th verse, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Hear the words that he has said. And he said, of a truth, Lord, 17th verse, the kings of Assyria have destroyed nations and their gods and lands and cast their gods into the fire. They were no gods, but works of men's hands. You know what? He is looking up to the Lord. Lord, I got this problem. It's true what they've been saying. They have destroyed those others. But Lord, there's no comparison to what their gods were and what my God is. And look at what came back from that's going to be passed down. It says in the 27th verse, here's God's answer. You know, when Hezekiah took his message and went up and gave it to the Lord, you know, was the Lord confounded? You know what? I'm in trouble. He has. They have been whipping the gods before. Now I'm in trouble. No. Listen to what God has to say to it. I know that he's talking now to the king of Assyria. I know thy abode, thy going out and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into my ears, this is God talking. I'm going to put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips. I'm going to turn thee back by the way which thou camest. You know, when God steps in on the scene, everything changes for us. But you know, Hezekiah could have spent his time, what can I do about this problem myself? I'll have some problems this next year. But I'm finding, Lord, help me to be able to look up. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's looking up from the troubles that are around me and the solutions that I feel like I can come up with for them, and looking up to the Lord and asking him for the help. Remember in Isaiah 6 and 1, Isaiah said, in this year, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know, we will have some times where we can look at the problem and it just starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Or I can set that aside and look up and see the Lord high and lifted up and well able to take care of the problems that I face. There's another song, Bigger Than All My Problems. Bigger than all my fears. You know, sometimes our fears can be bigger than the problems. It's just the expectation of where this problem is going to take me to. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. You know, many times we can see this problem, but there's also others just in my mind that's going to be coming as a result of whatever. You know, if we look at the political side of our nation today, we don't know what the future holds for us. I can have, you know, there's reasons that the Bible tells me, if my money increases, don't set your heart on it. You know why? I need to look up and set my heart on God. Because it can, our riches can take wings like an eagle and fly away. And I like to look back at our country when the Great Depression came, and I read information about it. There were people that were very wealthy one day, and then the banks closed, the stock markets crashed, and they were just as poor as the beggar that was out on the street. You know, at that time, we read stories about people that could pick themselves up and go do whatever needed to be done to make it. We find others that could not do it and committed suicide. And so I'm looking, Lord, we don't know what the future holds for us, but I do know if I will look up, he'll help me. Because if I put my hope in something that I've saved up and then it's gone, I'm going to have a lot of trouble. But you know what? If I set my hope in God, I believe, and I've felt this for some time now, should tomorrow it crash and everything's gone, what am I going to do? You know what I want to do is I want to start building something, a relationship with the Lord today, to where I can say, well, like Job, what did he say? The Lord gave it. I didn't have anything when I came, and I won't have anything when I leave. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And then he put whipped cream on top of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When all this trouble has come to me, I tell you, Lord, you're in control of it all. And I look at these for myself, not knowing what the future holds. You know, should it all be gone tomorrow, we'll be able to find out where my heart was. Yeah. Because what my purpose is, what I would like to be able to do, is be one of the first ones to get to Walmart and ask them, do you have any other openings for a Walmart greeter? It seemed like they got a pretty good job. They can smile and tell, you know, they're probably only making minimum wage. You know, it's an attitude of our heart. It is about what I allow myself to look at. You know, those folks that were bitten by serpents and the inclination is to look out for snakes, spend my time looking out for snakes. You know, they would have died. You're going to have to look up. I'm thinking about for myself today, I'm going to have to start looking up with the things that come to me. I want to look at another one. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th, we've read this many times before. In this, you know, because a lot of times when we just look down at the things around us, then we start figuring in our own mind how we would take care of it. And it never comes out. When the Lord said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, that's telling me, Dan, you're never really going to come to the same conclusion that I can come to. So let's look at this story. Came to pass after this also, the children of Moab, Ammon, with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. There came, second verse, there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And Jehoshaphat feared. But how long did his fear keep him looking down? Not very long. He feared, and then he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. You know what? That's where I want my help to be coming from. Yes. That's what will be the most help for me. And Jehoshaphat did what Hezekiah did. He started praying. And he started lifting up. Maybe it was for his own benefit. Lifting up who God was and what he was able to do. Sixth verse said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And it goes on down to where, Lord, I'm needing some help from you. We're up against something bigger than we are. And in the 12th verse, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. You ever been in a place where I'm up against this problem and I do not know what to do? But our eyes are upon thee. I think his eyes got lifted up above just looking at how many people are coming and the news report of how many people are coming. And then look at this next verse. Our eyes are upon thee. Then the next verse, all Judah stood before the Lord. You know, you ever think about God up in heaven looking down on us when I feel like I can handle this problem? And he just says, okay, let me back off. He'll be coming back after a while when this thing collapses for him. I believe God was looking down from heaven when these folks said, our eyes are on you. And it said, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. We don't know what to do. We're not looking for a plan B. We're trusting in you. Our eyes are looking up to you. And the message came to them, you're not going to need to fight. You just come out and you're going to get to watch this. You know, time after time through the Bible, when they have handed it to the Lord and the Lord goes out and works, we wonder how I would have never thought of it being done this way. And it says they, in the 22nd verse, when they began to sing and praise, that was what we're going to do because we believe the Lord's going to help us. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Look how he did it. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They had come all united to come against the children of Judah. And now something has happened that two of them turn against the third party. Everyone helped to destroy another just from looking up. You won't need to fight this battle. Just give it to the Lord. And what did it say when Judah, 24th verse, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. It says, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off. More than they could carry away, they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. I've never figured this out, why people would go into a battle carrying their jewels and all the wealth with them. Why not leave it at home and hope you can gain some more to carry back home? But for 3 days, they were collecting spoil from that. And it came from, instead of Jehoshaphat saying, I've got to have a plan, and here's something that has really dealt with me. If you will trace it back, you will find other times when the enemy came against God's people. And God's people said, I tell you what, let's hire the Egyptians. You know, the ones that we ran away from a while back. We're willing to pay them now to help us out. I wonder how God looks down at that. Whenever I'm facing this problem now and it's getting bigger than I am, and I'm needing another man to be able to help me out, I say, Lord, help us in this time, that we be able to put our eyes up on the Lord, won't have to fight. You know what it said he did? He said he appointed singers. They began to sing and to praise the beauty of holiness. You know, can you imagine singing and walking toward where the battle is supposed to be? That's a confidence. That's looking up to God. This thing is in God's hands. Here's another verse, Hebrews 12, another looking up that we need to do. We're compassed, 12:1, we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's where we're going to look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. There was another one that I saw. It's in Matthew, the 14th chapter. We will probably have this happen to us this year. In 14 and 28. You remember this one? It says they saw Jesus in the 24th verse. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking in the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out in fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, come. You know, things that seem to be impossible, if the Lord says, come on, we're able to do it. But you know what happens so easy with him and with us? When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What was looking up in 2025? His failure was he looked down. And you know, then he saw, I'm not supposed to be able to walk on water. And on top of that, this thing is boisterous. And what it say, when he saw the wind boisterous, you know, now it's what I see. We sing that song 284, regarding not what I may see. My faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. I don't understand how this thing can be worked out, but I hand it to the Lord. Boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's what happens when my eyes get down to the things around me, my solutions for problems that I'm facing. Lord, help me in 2025 to lift up my eyes and put them on the Lord, that he is well able to take care of us. There is another verse that is a warning for us in Luke. In Luke 21, Lorinda, you have the song, you've sung it before, Signs of the Times. In a little bit, I would like for us to look at that. But Luke 21 and 26, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up. You know, I have heard this all my life. Since I was a little boy going to camp meetings or revival meetings, I would hear, the end is coming.
Yes.
Be ready for the end to come. And now I think I understand a little more what 2 Peter 3 says when they're scoffers. I would never scoff at it. But you know, it really, even to me, it doesn't seem like it will ever happen. It just seems like time has passed on by. In 2025, I need to lift up my spiritual eyes and realize, you know what? It will happen someday. And it doesn't mean that I need to have fear about it. What I need to do is just make preparation for it whenever it should happen. When it comes to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Yes.
And there's some warnings for me, even in that chapter. 34th verse, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares.
Yes.
As a snare, it's going to come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 2025, it's easy to just focus on problems that I'll probably have, maybe some temporal needs, some troubles that I'll have. You know, I need to get to focusing on the end is coming. And then whether it's the end of all times or it was just my end, you know, in the past few years, if we would just make a list of how many people that we know in the church that the end has come for. Just as real to them as the end of all things. It is the end of all things for them.
Yes.
Lord, help me when I'm looking at my problems that seem so big this year, that I will also remember I need to lift up my eyes and realize this thing is temporary.
Yes.
I'm here for a little bit of time, and then I'm going to be going to some other place. Lorinda, would you mind to sing that song?
Coming is today. Good times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt He'll ever come again. But the word of God is true. He'll redeem His chosen few. Don't lose hope. Still Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head.
So when Jesus was taken up in Acts, the first chapter, here's what's happened to those people that are watching him. While in the 10th verse, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." What would you do if you had been there? Maybe what all those folks did. You start reading over and about, that's what got Ananias and Sapphira in trouble. Their heart wasn't in it totally, but there's a lot of people that went from this and they went back home and they started selling out, because this looks like something is just about to happen. Remember, they sold everything that they had and they put it together and they all lived common. How long would we be able to live that way? Not very long. So what the warning comes to us is, be real careful that the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and those things don't cause you to not be ready for this time. But you know what? We have to keep on living life.
Yes.
Over 2,000 years has passed since this was said, and he has not come back yet. And yet it still says it's going to happen.
Yes.
Watch for it. Lift up your head. And I don't think it's so much that I just walk out of here at the chapel and look up, but it's for me to start looking up in my heart.
Yes.
And realizing, you know what? There's some adjustments that I need to make in my life to be able to take care of the temporal things and yet not get my heart too set on those. So I look over here at 2 Peter 3. It says, knowing this first, third verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, back when I was a boy, maybe in about the 70s, I heard messages that ministers felt like it could be this year. It could be right away. And I mean, it would bring a fear on me because I was wanting to get married. Could be wrapping up here before I even get it started. But you know, that has been many years ago. And yet, I don't want to say, mark it off. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen one day. It's coming. And how do I go through 2025 to where I end up at the end of 2025? And even if it didn't happen, I was ready for it to happen, to walk with a carefulness. Here it says in the 8th verse, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So that would be, in my figuring, that's about like 2 days since the angel said that. That seems to me like a lot of time when 2,000 years has come by. But it wasn't much for God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But for 2,000 years he's been long-suffering to usward, not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then that next verse just twists everything all around. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, I need to take this verse and just start looking up and realizing this is going to happen one day. As a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Yes.
Seeing that all this is going to be dissolved. Now it's my turn. What am I going to do with the news I have? Seeing that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? How should I be living in 2025 that would tell to others around, you know what, I'm looking up. The day is coming when I'll be called out of here. It's really not going to make, you know, as far as Cheryl's concerned, it doesn't matter whether it was the end of all things or her end, the end came. And how many generations has gone out into eternity since the angels proclaimed he's coming back again? So in 2025, should I live all the way through it to the end? Help me to be prepared for this time. How do I be prepared? By balancing my temporal things with my spiritual things. I want to live to where, should it be at a church service time, if at all possible, I'd love to be here in service when he comes back again. But you know what? It's not just about that, because there can be times where we have to miss. What he's doing is watching my heart. I want to be able to have a heart for this through 2025, realizing it's going to one day be the end or my end. And then we read Matthew 25 and 1. It's going to be like 10 virgins. The new, it's going to happen. We just don't know when. It said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You know, when I look at that, it makes me to realize all of them had a light at one time.
Yes.
If the Lord would have come, if the bridegroom had come earlier, they would have all been ready.
Yes.
But time passes. Time is can be our friend. Time can be our enemy.
Yes.
Time passed. 5 of them slipped over into the foolish category because too much time had passed. What I say from all this, you know, I don't think we have to go into 2025 with a lot of fears.
Yes.
But what I do need to do is watch, therefore,
yes,
for you know not in what hour the Lord will come, and I want to,
yes,
be ready.
Yes.
Whether it's battles that we face this year, let's look up. The Lord is well able to help us through them. Whether it is the end that comes for me or for all of us, Lord, help us to prepare this year to be ready. Lord, help me.